Jerry Richardson was a community hero for bringing the NFL to Charlotte in 1993. As owner of the Panthers, he became affectionately known as the Big Cat. UNC Charlotte named its football stadium after Richardson 5 years ago. Here's Chancellor Philip Dubois.
And we could not be more pleased to be able to establish a strong connection with one of Charlotte's true living legacies.
Now that legacy includes a finding by an NFL investigation that misconduct claims against Richardson are substantiated. He now has the distinction of being given the biggest fine in NFL history. Joining us now to discuss Richardson's legacy is WFAE's Tommy Tomlinson. As a columnist for the Charlotte Observer, Tommy once wrote that Richardson's behavior in a press conference was so poor that he came off as, quote, irritable, cheap, confused, obstinate, and a bit of a creep. So, Tommy, that was one observation. What are others of Richardson over the years?
Well, he certainly has done well for many of his employees over the years. I remember the first time the Panthers went to the Super Bowl when they played New England 2004, 2005. He took all the employees to the game with him, which he certainly didn't have to do. He paid for their flight over there, paid for their hotel and tickets and that sort of thing. And I believe he did that for the second time the Panthers went to the Super Bowl, too. So in some ways, he was considered, I think, a benevolent owner of the team. In other ways, I think he was considered a pretty tough and hard guy. There's a famous artifact in his house. He has this big grandfather clock that when players or agents or somebody comes in to have a conversation with him, he would always sit them down in the room with a grandfather clock with a sort of ominous ticking sound that would, you know, be sort of the drumbeat in the background of whatever Jerry was trying to get this person to do or not do or whatever.
That's intimidating.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think he meant to be intimidating. He was a big guy, NFL player, one of the few players to actually end up owning a team, sort of a big, tall, imposing guy, sort of a grim-looking guy most of the time. And I think he tried to use all those things to his advantage.
As far as his public persona, what was that like among fans and other residents here?
Well, he didn't spend much time in the public, actually. He didn't do a lot of press conferences or events or things like that. The thing you mentioned earlier that I wrote about was one of the few sort of major press conferences he had when he was owner of the Panthers in 2011. They had just come off a terrible season. This was just before they drafted Cam Newton, sort of turned the team around a little bit. But Jerry had a press conference where he was sort of a little addled and just weird. There was a blonde reporter he called up to the front of the room. There was another one he sort of was just chatting with during the press conference. He was pushing back really hard on other people's questions. And I wrote about all that. Well, the next day, my phone rings. It's Jerry on the phone. And he was calling to defend himself. And one of the things he said at the time was that he had gotten 11 emails about that press conference, and that 10 of them were very positive. And the first thing I thought was, if he's the owner of an NFL team and he's only getting 11 emails, somebody's putting a pretty tight filter on those emails.
That seems like it would be the case.
Yeah.
And so as far as the allegations go, do you think we'll ever know exactly what happened?
Well, I think what's not clear here is the Sports Illustrated stories that sort of started all this. They spelled out some very specific things, very disturbing things about what Jerry may have done. The NFL statement doesn't directly address any of those things, but it does make clear that in the NFL's belief, something happened. Now, I think what will clear all this up at some point is if and when the employees who are under non-disclosure agreements are ever released from those. And I believe that was one of the things that the NFL recommended as part of this, is that in the future, those non-disclosure agreements not be so tight and not be put into so easily, because that has kept the public from sort of knowing in any great detail what really happened here.
So what do you think is Jerry Richardson's legacy now?
He'll always be the person who brought the Panthers to Charlotte, brought the NFL to Charlotte. That was a legitimizing stamp on this city. I do think of him in some ways similar to George Shinn, who brought the Hornets here in the 80s. George Shinn had problems with women. He treated women badly and ended up basically kind of getting run out of town and eventually moving away to New Orleans with the Hornets. Jerry Richardson, it appears, treated women badly, was sort of pushed out and forced in some ways to sell the team. And the NFL meant so much to him. You know, he had the shield at the 50-yard line, the NFL shield instead of the team logo. That meant everything to him. And now he's not a part of the club anymore.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think, you know, it is sort of an interesting point these days with so many men in power who are being brought in as part of the Me Too movement or whatever, men in power who've treated women badly. And it does seem sort of ironic, or whatever the right word is to me, that the two people who brought the two big sports franchises into Charlotte are both sort of lost their dreams because of this. George Shinn is somebody who's not remembered fondly here anymore. There are no statues to George Shinn in Charlotte. And there's a big statue in front of the Panther Stadium for Jerry Richardson. I wonder how much longer that'll be there.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you.
That's WFAE's Tommy Tomlinson.